But the Lord's faithful.
Amen.
No matter what we get, ain't he? Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter number 7. The flood. We've been looking in chapter 6 about Noah and God warning the people about what was going to happen. When we come to chapter 7, we begin to get a lot of details about the flood itself. Remember Brother Ted and Miss Jennifer up in West Virginia. Amen. Also, amen. So there's a lot of things going on. Amen. Good to be in church, huh? Men and ladies meeting is Saturday. We got to love people that ain't sick. I don't know what we might need to do about that, if we need to cancel it, reschedule, or what. What do y'all think? Or roll on? What do you think, Brother Brooks and D'Angelo? Put it on y'all. Cancel it? Reschedule it? Huh? Let's reschedule it, amen. So let everybody know, no ladies and men's meeting this Saturday. Let this little bug go by and try to recuperate and get it back done again. We will have the Preacher's Fellowship here this month for Friday. We've been talking to the preachers the other day, so we're trying to plan it and have a meeting beforehand with some of the preachers and discuss the upcoming year so we can get the schedule together. So the Preacher's Fellowship will be here before Friday, 7 o'clock. Amen. So keep put that on your calendar. Amen. Scratch men's breakfast off this Saturday and ladies' meeting and put the fellowship down. Amen. For Friday. Amen. All right. Glad you're in church.
Amen.
Amen. Remember Miss Angel, she's getting not long, amen. When's the due date? 14th, counting it down. And she's having a little bit of pain in her jaw, she's not sure of tooth or whatever's going on. You know how it is when you with a child like that and taking medicine, so she needs some special prayer. The Lord to do a little healing there and touch her, amen.
Amen.
A lot of things going on, man. Glad we got a God to talk to about it.
Amen.
Never overwhelmed. Genesis chapter 7. Let's read the chapter, 24 verses. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation." And so the Lord is making a beckon and a call to Noah to come into the ark. Verse 2, "Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth." So you see the purpose of why they're bringing the animals on. Verse 4, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days, and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." So, of course, in the context of chapter 7, what is being recorded here in the beginning of the chapter is 7 days before the flood actually comes. And so the Lord's given the Noah these last charge about the flood. And so they're bringing in the animals, two of every sort, seven of those that are clean. There's going to be a 40 days and 40 nights of rain that will destroy man from off the face of the earth. Verse 4 says, "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth." Verse 7, "And Noah went in." The Lord called in verse number 1. In verse number 7, he obeyed. "And his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean. And of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth." Just like the Lord said in the beginning of chapter 7, he said, "There's 7 days and this is going to happen. This is what I want you to do." And so Noah obeyed and the 7 days came to pass. In verse 11, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with him into the ark. They, and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah and to the ark, two and two of his flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went unto the face, the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moveth upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. Verse 22, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed, of which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowls of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Brother John, how about pray for us tonight? Yes, we do. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Help us as we open up your book. Teach your people. Teach us, Lord. Give us the words. Give us the words. Give us the words. Speak to our hearts, Lord. He's going to help us, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. An outline of the chapter is found like this. Verses 1 through 6, we see what the Lord spake. Verse 1, he said, and the Lord said unto Noah. And he began to speak out what he was going to do about this flood in the next 7 days that would come to pass. In verse 7 through verse 16, we see what the Lord did. The Lord always does what he says.
Amen.
You mark it down, the Lord will do it. The Bible said, and Noah went in, verse 7, and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. The clean beasts, they went in two by two, verse 9, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Hey, the Lord spake in verse 1 through 6, and we'll look at that in a little more detail. Verse 7 through 16, the Lord did what he spake. And then in verse 17 through verse number 24, we see the results of what the Lord did. The results. Somebody said you can outline the chapter like this. I thought it was pretty neat. We see verse 1 through 6. We see the last week, 7 days, 1 week prior to the flood. And God's speaking about that last week. In verse 7 through 10, you see the actual day that they entered in of the 7 days. In verse number 11 through 17, you see there's 40 days of rain. So there's a week that God has spoken of, a day that they entered within the week. There's 40 days of raining, 40 days and night. And then in verse 18 through 24, you see the 150 days that the waters was upon the earth. So it's kind of simple outline of what's going on here. I just want to glean some truths out of this chapter. I don't know how far we'll get tonight, but we'll see. We'll try to stop around 8 o'clock. But we see the Lord spake in verse number 1, and the Lord said unto Noah. You know, it always do us well to listen what the Lord has to say. And whether it be listening to what he said to somebody else, that we might glean some results out of how it can help us. But we especially need to listen when the Lord is speaking directly unto us. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And God calls Noah to come. He said, I don't even want you to come, but I want you and all thy house to come unto the ark. Hey, you know it's the first time in your Bible that the word come is mentioned, and the Lord is making a call to Noah and his children to come out of the wrath that he's going to bring upon this earth, come into a place of safety, come into a place of refuge. Hey, God is concerned with his people, amen. And you see this first call here, and it matches the last call that's recorded in your King James Bible. Hey, God is still calling and always calling mankind out of the destruction and danger. The problem is, most of the time, mankind doesn't listen. Hey, God calls him. Hold your place here in Genesis chapter number 7. Look in Revelation 22. This call here matches this call. God's calling for deliverance from destruction to deliver his child. Come thou and thy family, or all, he said, all thy house into the ark. Do you know when he said, come thou, Noah, and thy house, he's not talking about the wood house that he lived in. When he said, come thou, Noah, and thy house, it's a reference to his family. It's not the building that he lives in. God's concerned about the people that live within the building. And we'll see that again in your Bible. God uses that same phrase. But look here in Revelation 22. Look in verse 17. We're talking about the call, come. The first one lines right up with the last one. The Bible said, and the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. The Spirit of God wants you to come. Hey, the bride of Christ wants you to come. Amen. The born again believers. And let him that heareth say, come. Amen. If you've heard it, you ought to be beckoning others to come. The Bible said, and whosoever will, and let him that is athirst come. You know why you came? You were thirsty. Amen. You wanted, amen. Hey, thank God I got thirsty enough for God one day. And thank God God beckoned me to come unto him. And whosoever will, well, I like that phrase, let him take the water of life freely. You know God wants everybody to come. Do you know when God built that ark and he sent Noah out there to preach to that people? He was a preacher of righteousness. Hey, God's calling, God's preaching was to get those people into that boat. Hey, to deliver them from the danger that was to come. And God would have built it however big he needed to build if he'd have knew that they would have got on. Amen. Hey, God wants everybody to come. Well, I like that. Look in verse number 20. The Bible says, he which testified these things, saying, surely I come quickly, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Hey, God wants you to come. Back in Genesis chapter number 7, the call of come, the first one matches the last one, amen. Hey, God still wants wicked man to come to him, and God is always concerned with this old wicked world. When you tell me God's not a long-suffering, loving God, I'd say something's wrong with you. Hey, God, in this old wicked generation, is calling Noah out. In this old wicked world, he's still calling sinners out. And one day, he's going to ultimately call us out of this mess. And that's what gives us the call of John right there in Revelation 22. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come. He says, come thou. Amen. Look at verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou. That's an individual call. And God wants you to come. He said, not only wants you to come, and all thy house. Amen. Hey, to come. God wants his family to come also. Hey, that matches Acts chapter 16, verse 31. The Philippian jail story over there, where that jailer was over there and he was in a mess and he's locking up Paul and Silas, and that old midnight singing took place, and God shook the jail cell and brought that jailer under conviction, and the jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And the famous, but the greatest scriptures in the Bible for any lost sinner, amen. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. Hey, the same call there, amen. Hey, God's concerned with you. He's concerned with your wife. He's concerned with your husband. He's concerned with our children, our grandchildren. Thank God, God wants all to come to safety, amen. Just as the ark was a type of safety, Jesus Christ is safety to all mankind. He says, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Do you know when you come to Christ? You come into Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The safety is in the ark. The safety is in type the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the type we see out of this story here. Hey, the Lord called him to come. It was an invitation for him and his family. It was for individuals and for all that would follow. Amen. Hey, somebody said it like this. I liked it. I wrote it down. Verse number one, we see the divine invitation. It's a divine invitation. The Holy One wants you to come. And not only do you see a divine invitation to come in verse number one, we see a divine observation. Look in verse number one again. And the Lord said unto Noah, come, there's a divine invitation, thou and all thy house, he wants you and your family into the ark. There's the place of safety. God wants you to call you to that place of safety, away from that wrath, for thee have I what? Seen. So there's a divine call, but there's a divine observation. God's seen. God seen Noah was a righteous man. God saw the wickedness on this world. Hey, the divine not only calls us, but the divine sees what's going on.
Amen.
That's a humbling thought, ain't it, amen? The fact that God would cause a humbling thing, but a little bit a fearful thing to know that God's looking. Ain't nothing hid from him.
Yeah,
there's a divine call, but there's a divine observation. There's a divine requirement. He said, for thee have I seen righteous. You know what God requires? God requires righteousness. He required it prior to the law. God required it in the law. And God requires it today. And thank God, in the New Testament church, we have the imputed righteousness of God. Hey, I've accepted the requirement of God, and that was his only begotten Son. How that he died and was buried and thank God rose again. It is complete and the resurrection seals the deal. Hey man, so we see the divine invitation come. The divine observation, God sees everything. And the divine requirement, which is righteousness. And then we see lastly, the divine testimony. He said, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Boy, that's a divine testimony. Hey, this man lived what he believed. Well, we need that today, don't we? What a great truth within that first verse there. He said he was righteous. He said, I've seen thy righteousness. Hey, Noah not only lived righteous, but he preached righteousness. The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, we've looked at some of these verses. We won't turn to a lot of them tonight. The Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness. He preached, and listen to this, he lived what he preached.
Amen.
Well, that's a good testimony, ain't it? Hey, we need some more of that today. We not only need to preach it, but we need to live what we preach. We need to back up what we say by the way we live our lives. Hey, he was a preacher of righteousness, and he lived righteous. Hey, look at this. This phrase has always interested me. Look at Ezekiel chapter 14. He was righteous before me in this generation. That's what the Lord's saying. And this is what he spake about Noah. Amen. He not only spake that about Noah. Listen to this, Ezekiel. Chapter 14, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, right before Daniel, right? Ezekiel 14, look at this phrase. Ever caught your attention about these three individuals the Lord mentions here? Ezekiel 14, I believe it's verse 14. Yeah, verse 14, Ezekiel 14, 14. You got it? What's the first word there? Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their what? Righteousness, saith the Lord. You know what the Lord said about those three guys? Them boys were righteous. He said, Noah, he was righteous. We get it right there in Genesis chapter 7. God spoke about his righteousness again. Daniel was a righteous man. And Job also was a righteous man. He eschewed the evil. He feared God. These three men were three great individuals in your Bible. There's a lot you can probably say about these three individuals, but I like this right here. Do you know what? Do you know what their righteousness showed? That through their righteousness, living right, clean, following the Lord, Noah, through his righteousness, overcame a wicked world. This whole world was wicked he was living in, right? It's very clear how wicked that world was in, and Noah, through his righteousness, overcome a wicked world. What about Daniel? What did Daniel overcome? Daniel overcame his flesh.
Yeah.
You know, three major enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and they're shown by three individuals that God spoke about in their righteousness. Hey, Noah overcame the world by his righteousness. He lived right. Hey, Daniel overcame his flesh by living righteous. Remember, he wasn't defiling himself with a portion of the king's meat. Hey, he didn't want to harm his flesh. He overcame the temptations of the flesh in his righteousness. And of course, Job, he overcame the devil. It was the devil that attacked him. Hey, the three major enemies that we face. Hey, righteousness can help your life in a lot of ways. It can help you against the world and the flesh and even the devil. Amen. Hey, God said these three men were righteous before him. That's pretty good, ain't it? Amen. Righteous. God wants you to be righteous. He wants you to live right. Look back in Genesis chapter 7. So we see what the Lord is speaking to this righteous individual. He's saying, hey, son, I get an invitation. It's a divine invitation. I want you to come thou in the ark. But I don't want you just to come. I want your family there. I want your wife. I want your sons. I want their wives. I want everybody you can. Let's bring them into the ark. Amen. Because God had seen what was going on. We see the divine requirement of righteousness and the divine testimony. Amen. He said, come thou in the ark. He said, I only want you to come. But in verse 2 and verse 3, look what he says. The Bible says in verse 2, of every clean beast thou shalt take thee by sevens, the male and the female. You know, the Lord even knows there's two, male and female, when it even comes to animals. You can't help in this generation to mention something like that. It's the same way with mankind, male and a female. That's how they reproduce. That's how it's done. Hey, it's the sodomites that do the recruiting. It's God's people that do it right, and male and female, and they reproduce on the earth. Amen. It's no recruiting. Amen. It's reproducing. And God wanted them. Why did God do it? Why is God bringing them in here? Two of every sort and seven of the clean. That's verse 2, 3, and in verse number 4. Because God said, in 7 days I'll cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. That I have, and I'm going to destroy all that I have made from off the face of the earth. So what did he bring them in? He brought them in two by two, kids. Male and female. Why? So when the ark landed, they can reproduce and repopulate the earth with those animals. Hey, why did he bring seven of the clean ones? Because, hey, the clean animals, he wanted them to reproduce also, but he wanted clean animals for sacrifice. That's what God used for sacrifice. He didn't want nothing filthy. He wanted something clean. And you see that in the Levitical law that wasn't even mentioned yet, but it was God's standard of way of sacrifice of sweet-smelling Savior unto him. So there were seven of the cleans and two of the unclean. And they were all male and female of their sort. You see that? Of their sort. Look in verse number 14. They and every beast after his kind. You see that verse 14? And all the cattle after their kind. And every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And every fowl after his kind. Every bird of every sort. Hey, God did not bring in every species on the planet. He brought on every kind and every sort of species on the planet. Why? So these sorts and kinds within the families could reproduce and put what was back on the earth. I didn't bring every species of dog on the ark. He didn't bring every species of cat on the ark. Hey, somebody said he brought a mama cat and a daddy cat and two kittens, you know, something like that. I don't know. He brought what he needed to bring on there of every sort, that's the way the Bible uses it, and every kind, why, of their species so they can reproduce and repopulate the earth. Amen. That's why it fit. He signed this. And people say, try to throw off on the ark, amen, and it ain't big enough to hold all the animals and everything. Hey, God brought in every sort of every kind of species so he could reproduce the way he wanted it. God knew what he was doing. Every sort. Amen. The family of animals, not the species. Some to preserve, some for sacrifice to clean. Amen. And God brought them on the ark. Same thing he said back in Genesis chapter 6, where he looked at that subject once. Look in verse 19 of chapter 6. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive. Two of every what? Sort. You see that? In verse number 20, he says, two of every sort. It's the same thing. It's the same phrase. God knows what he's talking. He done the same thing with Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And when we look at these individuals and their lives and where they came from and where they dwell, hey, God brought in every type of human and animal species that could reproduce and make what's on the earth today. God knew what he was doing. Apart from those in the sea, amen, everything that needed that wasn't in the ocean, God brought in the ark. Everything in the ocean just stayed in the water. Amen. It's obvious. It's not rocket science. It's just biblical science, right? Amen. So we see that there's the ark and the sort of animals and the families and the species. Same thing with the mankind and the races of individuals. God done it with the families of animals, of the sort. God brought them onto the ark. And the Bible says in verse number 4, and yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Amen. Hey, this is the first mention of rain. Amen. Hey, God said, I'm going to bring rain. God, you know how he done it. Prior to this time, you read your Bible, God watered the ground with a mist. They'd never seen rain. I mean, here's a man, a preacher of righteousness up there preaching about rain. They don't even know what rain is. He had to break it down and tell them what it is. Is something going to come down out of this water, the sky, like you see it coming out of the ground, and God's going to flood this place and destroy it. And he's preaching that as a preacher of righteousness, that you need to get right and get in this ark and turn from the wickedness of this world, because judgment's coming to this world. 7 days, he's up to this point, he's been preaching all these years. 7 days, and what I said, you mark it down, is coming to pass. And they're still mocking. And they're still shunning him. And they're still drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Like there's no flood coming. Like there's no judgment coming. But it ain't going to take long, these 7 days. Some things are going to start turning around. It's going to start waking up some eyes of some people. It's what the Lord's trying to do today, I believe. Everything's going on in our world today. It's God trying to waken people's consciences of what's going on. Of a wicked world that God's bringing judgments on. Has rejected God, his Bible, his Spirit, and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't go like that and keep kicking against God and God not say enough's enough. That's what he said back over in Genesis chapter number 6. 120 days, judgment cometh. I'm done with it. And it's just like the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Hey, we're seeing God just like this, trying to wake people up that judgment's coming. Get your head out of the dirt and look up at your redemption draw up now. And if you're lost, you better get saved. Yeah. It's coming. And you know what people do? They listen to you preach it and other people preach it just like they did Noah preach it. We got plenty of time. Yeah. Scoffing. Right, Brother Brooks, that's the word. Rejecting. Want nothing to do with it. Amen. But there's a universal flood coming. This ain't just some kind of local type thing. That's what a lot of, you know, these great scientists, you know, maybe there was a local lie. No, this thing was universal. Yeah, amen. All flesh. You see that? God said, I'm going to destroy them from off the face of the earth. Amen. And every living substance, verse number 4, that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. If it be a local flood, like they say, it's a mighty miracle, amen, because it destroyed everybody that even wasn't under the flood. Because the Bible said every one of them. Amen. On the earth, everything's going to be destroyed on this earth. And God done it, just like he said. God's speaking it. God's telling you. Hey, God's still speaking it today. He's still warning today, amen. Hey, we see Noah obeyed what God spake. You can't stress that enough. Hey, obey what God says. Faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. You'll never go wrong. Even when you don't understand and when you're doubting and you don't have answers, you just obey the Lord. I mean, put yourself in Noah's shoes. Go out there and build an ark and build it so big that we describe a football field's length and 3/4 of football field width and height of above the goalpost and how 3 stories high. He's building on dry land. Rain's coming. They never seen the rain. How you going to get this big old coffin-like wood vessel to water and flow? Don't any of it make sense? It doesn't make logical sense sometimes. But I'm just going to believe God when it even don't make sense, because God will make it sense sooner or later. It didn't make sense at the time, but when the rains busted out and that thing was floating on the ground and everybody else was dead, this was a good idea. You know, the world will tell you, and you young people will tell you, it don't make sense to serve the Lord and get away from this and not go the way of the world and dive into this kind of why. It don't make sense, amen, but you hold on. It'll make sense sooner or later. Amen. You best yet obey what the Lord said. Amen. He obeyed what the Lord spake. He obeyed the build. Look in verse chapter 6, back in the last verse, verse 22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. In that chapter, in chapter 6, God's given the command to build the ark, the size and the dimensions of it. And the Bible said he obeyed the build. He not only obeyed the build, look in verse chapter 7, verse 1, and come thou, Noah, unto the ark. And look what the Bible says in verse 5. And Noah did according to all the Lord commanded him. Once again, the Lord said, this boy obeyed. He obeyed the build. Chapter 6, verse 22, he obeyed the invitation to come. Amen. Chapter 7, verse 1 and verse 5. He's an obedient guy. Amen. You'll never go wrong obeying the Lord. Whatever it is, he obeyed the build, he obeyed to get in. Amen. Hey, here's an amazing picture. Noah obeyed, but we also see that the animals obey. Hey, the creature sometimes has more sense than the creation.
The creation.
Sometimes dogs got more sense than people. Amen. That make more sense? Look, they obey. Look in verse 7. Noah went in and his sons. And once again, he's reiterating the fact that he obeyed, just like he said in what he spake. When you get to verse 7, Noah went in and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of the clean beasts. Look at this. And of the beasts that are not clean, and of the fowls upon, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto, listen to this phrase, Noah into the ark. They obeyed. What did they obey? They obeyed to come. They listened. Amen. Noah obeyed to build. He obeyed the call to come. And even the animals obeyed to come into the ark. And then when you come to verse number 11 through verse 16, you see this just summary of the obedience of Noah, his wife, his sons, their wives, and the animals. And once again, we're given the command that they all obey. Look in verse 16. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut them in. Once again, we are given the instructions or the counsel that they have obeyed what the Lord said. And we should obey it also. He obeyed to build. He obeyed to get in. The animals obeyed. And then the review of his obedience is in verse 11 through verse 16. The Bible says, look at this in verse number 6. And Noah was how old? 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. 600. And here he is, getting on the ark, and God's going to destroy it. You remember when we studied the individuals and lives of people? Look back in Genesis chapter number 5. Look at this. And I made some remarks about people that was alive during the days of Noah and the construction of the ark and what was going on. Do you know that when Noah, when the flood hit the earth, the same year, 600 years old is how old he was, right? When it flooded. Do you know who died the same year the flood happened? Methuselah. Methuselah was there at the birth of Noah, at his children's birth, their life that took place, and even up to the very day, or year, we know the year, I don't know about the exact day, but he was there to the year that Noah, the flood hit the earth, Methuselah was alive that year. I can prove that. You don't see? Look at this. Look in Genesis chapter 5, verse number 25. Just take a little calculator, a little pencil. You write it down if you like. Genesis 5, verse 25. You there? You ready? The Bible says, and Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. So Enoch walked with God, and he was not, but he took him. But Enoch had a child. His name was Methuselah. And Methuselah lived, well, how long? 187 years, right? And he begat Methuselah. So write down 187. Write it down. You can add. It ain't hard. Look in verse number 26. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. So we know he was 969. So write that down. That's when he died, how old he was. So Methuselah lived 187 years and he begat Lamech, back in verse 25, right? Now look in verse 28. And Lamech lived. So Methuselah is 187 years old. Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. So write 182. So by the time Methuselah has his, Lamech has his son, Methuselah is 187 plus 182. Somebody add that up. How much is it? 369. Right? By the time Lamech had a son. Now, who was Lamech's son? Look. And he called his name what? Noah. By the time Noah was born, Methuselah was 300 how many? 69 years old. What was the day of the flood? Noah was 600 years old. So add 600 to 369 is what? 969. How old was Methuselah when he died? 969. So the year that the flood hit the earth, Methuselah died. So Methuselah was there. There was other patriarchs there, other saints of God. You maybe can find out who else was alive during the same time. But we know the very year that the flood hit the earth, Methuselah died that year. Enoch had already been taken out because the ark's more of a type of the great tribulation period than it is anything, even though it's a great type of salvation. Now we come in the ark and we're secure. Hey, but Enoch walked with God and he was not, and God took him before the judgment ever hit the earth. But Methuselah, he was there the same year that the floods hit the earth. Methuselah was there. So we see back in Genesis chapter number 7. It's just a little, you know, biblical truth of numbers. It's there. So we know, if somebody ever asked you a trivia question, you know, who, when the flood hit the earth, who died the same year? Methuselah. See, y'all got it. Amen. And you can add it up. It's right there. So the Lord spake, right? Number two, we see the Lord did. The Lord does what he speaks.
Amen.
You with me? It's very clear. God does what he says. Hey, sometimes that's a scary thought. Hey, you know the Lord said he's coming back?
Amen.
He can do exactly what he said.
Amen.
The Lord always does what he says. Hey, we need to do all we can to get our family in because God's going to do exactly what he said. Hey, there's a hell we are spoken about. There's a judgment. There's a great white throne judgment. There's people that are dying without the Lord. God's going to do exactly what he said. And we, just like Noah, we need to be doing all we can to obey what God has spoke to us and try to get our family to follow in with it. Look in verse number 7. So we see, number one, the Lord spake. Number two, the Lord did. Look in verse number 7. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. You don't think there was a lot of temptation to get his youngins? Get their wives, bust up their marriages? Same stuff going on today. You know what? We see that the Lord does what he spake. And we, like Noah, need to do all we can to try to get our family to safety. Amen. Hey, judgment is coming. Hey, why did Noah work so hard to get his family in? It's obvious. He believed what the Lord said. If he wasn't to believe what the Lord said, he wouldn't have been being so diligent to build the ark, so much preaching against that old world, and so hard trying to get his youngins in if he didn't believe what God said. How many of us believe what God said?
Amen.
Now, how hard are we working to get everybody out of what's coming?
Right.
He believed, and God done what he said. He believed that there was a danger coming, so he built an ark. He believed there was a danger coming, so he worked all he could to get his family out of that judgment. He believed there was a remedy from the judgment on the outside if he got inside that boat,
Amen.
That ark. Amen. Do you believe there's a remedy if they get inside of Christ? You better believe I do. Hey, there's safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's safety being baptized in the body of Christ. Not water, but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood for us and his resurrection. Hey, I believe there's a remedy for sinners. And we need to be working to try to get them into the remedy. Not just in church. That's a good thing. But in Christ. In the remedy. Amen. Look in verse 8. Of the clean beast and the unclean. Twos and sevens. Male and female. Amen. So we see that God said, Noah, in 7 days I'm going to destroy this thing. And this thing kind of overlaps of how it plays out. And I could be off base, but this is the way I interpret it. God said, Noah, 7 days. Come down in the ark, you and your family, I'm going to destroy it. And I believe when God said it, Noah marched his tail into that ark.
Amen.
He believed exactly what God said. I believe for 7 days that boy was sitting in that boat. And the Bible said that the animals came after him, right? That's what that first review in those first six verses, he obeyed, the animals obeyed. Look in verse number 7, and look at this. This is why I believe he was in there for 7 days. And then Noah went in, and his sons, and his wives, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of the clean beast, and of the beasts that are not clean, verse 8, of the fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. Now look, verse 9. There went in two and two unto what? Noah. Into the ark, the male and the female, as God commanded Noah. God said, 7 days I'm going to destroy it. Noah said, I'm getting on. And after that, the animals began to come in. The Bible said they came into the ark unto Noah. That's what the word says, right? So Noah was in there before the animals. So Noah got in there and the animals started coming of every sort, right? All the species that could repopulate. Do you know every one of them didn't live around where Noah built the ark? Do you know for 7 days, what I said just a minute ago, how the Lord's trying to waken up people today about what he's going to do? He done it the same thing there in Tyke. That Noah walked in that ark and 7 days God said, I'm going to destroy it. And Noah was in that boat, and him and his wife and his sons and their wives. And for 7 days, all over the world, the species of animals came coming to that boat. Could you imagine being around that boat? They already thought he was crazy. And now he's inside that thing. And I don't know if he's got the window open the top outside preaching in that thing, still trying to get him to come in. There's probably a good possibility he's preaching right up to the end. But it don't say. But he went in, I know that, and the animals came unto him. And as he was probably preaching out that window in the top and trying to reach those people, telling them to get in, they looking around and animals they had never seen in their lives. Some species they had never seen. What is that? You don't think some things started turning up there? Why these two and two at in? And seven of them. And man, what is that thing? I ain't never seen one of them. And they coming from all over. They obeying the Lord and they're coming. And all that's going on, there's people around that thing and they're seeing animals marching that way. Why are they going from, what is that, these animals? And God's sitting there saying, hey, something's about to happen. And they sitting around thinking, nah, something just ain't right, but I just can't put my finger on it. But something's stirring. Hey, the world had to admit that today. There's something stirring. They just don't know what it is. It's God. Amen. And he's trying to get you in. And it's 7 days and judgment's coming. You say, how long? I don't know. In tight, 7 days. How long is that 7 days going to be? 7 weeks, 7 years? I don't know. But God spoke it and God will do what he said. Yeah. And you better get in if God's spoken to you, and you better do all you can to try to get your family in because the judgment's coming, and we better lift up our heads out of the dirt and the muck and mire in this old world and try to get all we can in because judgment's coming.
Yeah, amen.
What do you think the world thought when they saw all the animals from all over the world coming inside the ark to Noah? And to top it all, the Bible said it came to pass in verse number 10, and it came to pass after 7 days. So at the end of those 7 days, Noah's in there, the animals in there, that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Look, in the 600th year, verse 11, of Noah's life, in the second month, 17th day of the month, we'll look at a little bit more about the months and days and the span of it when we get to chapter 8. But he said that it was the second month, 17th day of the month, same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. For the first time in their lives, something been stirring for 7 days, and they knew something was going on.
Amen.
And that man been preaching about a rain and a judgment. Now animals was getting in, him and his family's in there. And all of a sudden, the black clouds start rolling over. They had never seen them. God been watering the ground from the mist. And thundering and lightning. Shaking the skies, and the bottom fell out. And while the bottom's falling out for 40 days and 40 nights, I don't know how long it took, but it probably didn't take very long. Everything on the outside was dead. But you imagine those people when it just started, the thunder's cracking, the black sky, the lightning, it's raining like you've never seen it. And they're trying to crawl in and maybe beat on that boat to get in. And swimming and paddling in water until it was too overwhelming and everything outside died. That's what he said. Thundering, lightning, rain for the first time. Fear had gripped mankind. But you know what the problem was? It was too late.
Amen.
They ain't opening the door. You ain't getting in. God has stretched. God has reached. And you said no. Now judgment. You want to see it? Look in Proverbs chapter 1. Hold your place here. We're about done. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1. God's done all he can. I'm telling you, this world better wake up. We better wake up. We better get busy and diligent. Judgment's coming, just like he said. God does what he said. Judgment has came, and it's too late. Proverbs 1, verse 22. The Bible says in verse 22 of Proverbs 1, "How long, you simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you." God's done all he can. Look at verse 24. "Because I have called." Noah's preached and preached and preached, and God's called, and they're seeing the animals, and they're seeing everything going on. God's doing all he can to get a hold of your heart. He's turning your life upside down, and you still say no. People are dying around you. Sicknesses is hitting. Hey, catastrophe and viruses all over the world. Earthquake and storms and tornadoes. How much more has he got to do? He's calling to get in. "But because," look at verse 24, "I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded." All he did was mock Noah and mock his family and run their mouth about his God. That's the same thing they're doing today. And God's still stretching out his hand. But there's coming a day the door's going to shut.
Amen.
The Bible says in verse 25, "But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. While they're treading the water and trying to get in, I will mock when your fear cometh." They've never seen fear. It's gripped them at that day. But it's too late. Verse 27, "When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call unto me." No, open up! Open the door! Give us another chance. We're sorry. "Then shall they call upon me," verse 28, "but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." The Bible said Noah moved with fear, prepared an ark, the saving of his house. They didn't move by fear until fear came and it was too late.
Yeah.
Verse 30, "They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof." The great deep has opened up. Now I always, you know, I could be wrong. But the great deep opened and the windows of heaven and the floods came. It covered the whole earth. Matter of fact, it tells you how high it even got up to the mountains. Verse 20, 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail and the mountains were covered. 15 cubits above the mountains. Now, they say Mount Everest, the highest, 15 cubits above it. Speculation, was Mount Everest even there then? Was it maybe a little more flat? I don't know. You don't know. But I know it was high enough to flood everything and kill everything, and it went over the highest mountain. If Mount Everest was there at the time of the flood, somebody's done some calculating. I just wrote it down. The great deep's open. When the great deep's open. Remember, look Genesis. Let me give you this. We got a couple minutes. Genesis 1 and 2, look. He said the great deeps were open, and the great deep was broken up, and the windows were open in heaven, right? And the great deeps, deep, broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. Verse 11, chapter 7. Genesis 1 and 2, after God had destroyed the earth in Lucifer's flood, between verse 1 and 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of what? The deep. It's a flood. God's dumped the earth, submerged it. And over the face of the deep, the Spirit of God moved, and out come dry land. And in that creation in Genesis chapter number 1, he separated the firmament from the firmament. And God lifted up those waters up above. That frozen deep. Look in Job. Look in Job 38. Now I'll give you this. Job 38. You do what you want to with it. Job 38. The great deep was broken up. God flooded it. Job Psalms, Job 38. Do you know, there's scientists believe something happened. And the ones that are off their rocker don't believe that was a complete destruction and a flood. But the Bible surely teaches that all the earth was flooded and all on dry land died. And they believe in an ice age. And they find skeletons of animals and fish and stuff up in mountains that they can't explain why. And the flood, it makes it known. Was the Grand Canyon there before the flood? When God flooded it like he did and dumped it like he did it cause it? Or was it there the whole time? Here's what happened. I know happened. Genesis chapter 38, look in verse number 30. Job's, thank you. Job 38, 30. The Bible says the waters are hid with a stone and the face of the deep is what? The face of the deep is frozen. Job begins to talk about that frozen sea, that sea of glass up there in the firmaments below the throne, the third heaven where God abides. And that frozen deep, that great deep was broken up. Look at this. Look in Genesis. Look back in Genesis. Look in Genesis 7. Is it verse 11? Genesis 7, 11. Genesis 7, verse 11. In the 600th year, this is the day it happened. Noah's life. Methuselah died that year. The second month, 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. You know what Job said? The great deep's frozen at top. That firmament, that great deep, Genesis 1. Can you see the firmament there separating between God and us? And the Lord came down through that water. And it's amazing, he come down through that water and he came down this earth, born of a virgin, and he called fishers of men through the water. Something about that stuff, ain't it? But that frozen deep, and the Bible says, and the frozen deep was broken up and all the windows of heaven were open. That great deep busted. Windows in heaven, and God dumped it. I always read that the foundations of the great deep was the ground coming up and the coming. I don't really believe that now. I believe that thing that in that firmament, that great deep was frozen, and that water come down, and it done something to this world. Maybe even the coldness of it brought some of that stuff with the flood and the ice age and the whole catastrophe that they can't explain. God done something. And he flooded that thing out. And he dumped it down. And somebody said this. So we see that there was what God spoke. God done what he said. And in verse 17 through 24, we see the results of what happened. 150 days of water on the earth after the 40 days and 40 nights of the great rain. Somebody said, if Mount Everest, the tallest peak, was there at that time, for it to cover Mount Everest and the cubits above it, rained 40 days and 40 nights to make it happen. Now I don't know how they figure it all up. But they said, here's what it would take. It would have to rain 6 inches per minute. That's a great frozen, deep, bust in the windows judgment. 6 inches a minute. 6 inches a minute. It's 30 foot an hour. By the time an hour is over, that thing's 30 foot when you were just standing before it hit the ground. And it's coming down so hard, it's probably pushing you under and drowning you. And you ain't going to tread it long. Because if it went 6 inches a minute and 30 minutes at 30 foot an hour, it had raised 725 feet in a day to reach the peak of Mount Everest and above in 40 days and 40 nights. That's a great flood. That's a deep busted and windows of heaven dumping it down. And the results was everything on the outside on land died. And Noah and them floated for 150 days until you get to chapter 9 and God brings them down on the land and God begins to reproduce, replenish the earth. Judgment. God spoke it. God did what he spake, and you see the results. Amen. God's still speaking. He's going to do what he said, and one day we're going to see the results. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you want to come, talk to the Lord about something. There's a lot of sicknesses and a lot of issues going on. People need our prayers. Maybe something about the Word of God God spoke to your heart about. Amen. Many need our prayers tonight. Remember Katie and Ella Mae, they're sick. Amen. Others in the church that we've already mentioned. Pray for them. Pray for those that are lost. Pray to God to stir our hearts to listen to what He says.